we've gone through the three chapters there, obviously very quickly. We went through 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Can't stop there. Party will be over for years. We knew a young man, Austin Stromberg, fine fellow. And, he would abide, meditate. And we'd go back about every 6 months or so. Austin, what are you meditating? I'm meditating on 1 Corinthians 13. And he would have all these new insights. And it went on for years. Literally, I mean, there was about 3 years. Austin, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. And he was growing and growing. Right? It was amazing to watch. That one you can't exhaust. We might ignore it, but we're not going to exhaust it. We've talked about the last couple of times, and especially last night, order in the church, order in what the way these gifts are manifested, and very simple. I mean, the word makes it where it stays in order. It's this insanity that we see, silliness, foolishness, is really simply not required, and is actually forbidden. And we've talked, just in way of review, of tongues, the different types of tongues, how they are assigned for whatever, the signs to unbelievers and the way they are, and the importance of tongues and the non-importance of tongues, the other things that are more important, rated higher, according to Paul, because why? Remember, what is the subject? Edification. Edification of the body, which is love. The reason that 1 Corinthians 13 is put in there is because it's about love. And the final goal of mankind is love. It's God's love. God's love in us because God is in us. They will know that you are my disciples by one thing, and that would be love for one another, agape. And I believe that in eternity, that is what will permeate us. The sensation of being loved, which you can't sense. You can't sense. Oh, I felt I was loved. Okay. Now, come on. How do you do that? You can't sense what the other person is feeling. You might make something up, but you can't sense it. But in the case of God, and I believe in the case of eternity, that is going to be quite a different thing. And I believe that upon this earth, his desire is us to have his life living in us in such a way that is what the final goal is. That really is what the goal is. It really is. Why? Because that is truly his life. When he speaks of law, why? It's because it's love. It's because it is the death to self and the life that he is. And that is the point, that our life is like his life because his life is there. So we've talked about all these things, and now we're going to go back and start all over again. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to go back through it this time, looking at the gifts. And talking about them. Chapter 12, we'll start with verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, this is another one of those verses that I think, and we're going to see some as we go along, because when we get through talking about the gifts, we're going to go back to where we left off in Acts, and we're going to be going through again, seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, often without speaking in tongues. And here Paul is saying, variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are variety of ministries and the same Lord. Varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all. But to each one, here we go with the subject, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. See, the Spirit is there, but the Spirit manifests itself. I think we need to stop and talk about this a second. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What we've talked about, I believe, is a one-time sort of a beginning, kickstart, if you want it, experience. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. But then, it's once that has happened, and especially as you are asking every day, God, continually fill me, keep filling me, keep being filled with the Spirit, as Paul tells us, that you are now in a different way, and you really are, and please hear me, this is one of the reasons for being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You are now at His beckoned whim. The Holy Spirit can manifest Himself through you as He desires. Those that God has given a prayer language, it's so different than so many other things. You can simply go, okay, I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit, and you can pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and there's not some great feeling or anything like that. It just simply happens. And it's you praying in concert with the Holy Spirit. I don't know any other way to say it. And you need to ask, as Paul says, for understanding, but you're praying in the Spirit. And it is something that it just simply happens. We had a pastor one time, he stood up and he was talking about the gifts, and he said, I want you just to hear something. And he had a prayer language, and he just suddenly began to pray in tongues for everyone. And the place just froze. And he smiled and he said, did you happen to notice that the spiritual temperature went up real quick? And everybody, yeah, you know, I mean, because you don't hear that often. And he was right, it did. You sensed the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't in any way showing off or doing anything. It was very, you know, you think, oh, look, very calm. No different than we're talking right now. Except you didn't understand a thing he said. But God did. Now, the gifts that we're going to talk about, they manifest. The Holy Spirit knows needs. He knows hearts. He knows the minds. He knows the pains. And it's amazing to watch when someone or you, led by the Holy Spirit, will suddenly start talking about something in a meeting or on a personal level even. And how did they know that? Well, they didn't know that. The Holy Spirit manifested Himself. Mrs. Davis could tell us a number of stories I know. In fact, would you come here, love? I take it that that is an enthusiastic yes. Would you mind, and this was, I've always thought this is just a real manifestation.
He was going to go and apply for a job, and after I hung up, and just my heart was heavy and thinking about him. And the Lord said, I've told you one thing to do, and I immediately knew what he wanted me to do, and that was to put his word back before my eyes and meditate upon his law. And so I did, and went, you know, right to sleep. And the next day was a Bible study fellowship, and it was a large group, 500 women. And my homework that week had been writing down part of the homework was to write a promise that you hadn't seen yet fulfilled. And I had written a verse, a rhema the Lord had given me to save the son of your handmaid and show us a sign for good, that those who hate us may be ashamed, for you, O Lord, have helped and comforted us. And so that was my part of my homework. And so I went to the Bible fellowship. In fact, the elder's wife didn't pray. They prayed for me when I had cancer. She had invited me to come, and she's sitting with me. And I hadn't told her my homework. I just, you know, had it there. And we broke up and went into our separate little study groups, and I didn't get to share any of that with anybody in the group. But when we came back in, the lady, she did her lecture. It's usually about 45 minutes, and her name's Renee, and she said, I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to put a name in it. I'm going to read a psalm, and you put your name in it, and I'm going to put the name Mary. And she read the psalm that had the promise that the Lord had given me. And
in the third person, too, Mary. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I knew when she said, I'm going to read a psalm, I knew that it was going to be that one. I hadn't memorized the reference. I'm really bad at memorizing references, but I knew right then that it was that psalm. And so the lady next to me, when Renee said, I'm going to put the name Mary, the elder's wife started weeping, because even earlier when we had gathered that morning, I was telling her about that Dr. D and I had been practicing, you know, we had been singing A Mighty Fortress that weekend and talking about it. Just as the lady playing the music, as people would come in, she started playing that. And the elder's wife was going, wow, the Lord's really affirming you this morning. And then when that happened, she was just, ah! But she came from, you know, a more charismatic background, believing in gifts and such. But the Lord did that, and then I was able to go up and tell the lady, who was a little Baptist lady, that you just read a psalm and put my name in it, and this is my homework, and showed her, and she was just, oh my goodness, you know. So praise the Lord. The Lord used it to encourage me and to remind me that he's able to take care of all the loose ends, and that he knew that all he was wanting was me to keep turning back to him regardless, you know, and that's still the same thing that he's saying to us every day.
Thank you, Lord. Did you notice when she said the thing about loose ends, she jabbed me with her elbow? Folks, this type of thing should be a normal happenstance for us. This is a normal way of life. And I can tell you for Mrs. Davis and I, it is. We are listening to, because we listen to God's word, but we are listening to the Holy Spirit. Who knows what he's going to say and do next? I mean, you simply don't know. He may tell you to turn left here instead. What? Okay. And all of a sudden, there's a reason that you did that. The Holy Spirit is there, but not always, because he doesn't need to be, manifesting himself with gifts all the time. But when they're needed, the Holy Spirit knows. And the things that he can speak and say through you, you literally will be having two, maybe three conversations simultaneously. And it gets kind of weird sometimes that somebody will be talking to you, and the whole time they are talking, you are hearing them with these ears. But you are, and you may be speaking back and forth in the Spirit to the Holy Spirit while this person is talking to you. And you heard everything they said But you also heard everything that God said, and he heard everything that you said back. And that little spot in the universe got loud for the purpose of the common good. The purpose, the manifestation for the common good. Let's go back to those verses. Verse 7, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, each one, could the manifestation of the Spirit be for you or for a number of people in a meeting? Nothing. Point is, yes. You don't say, oh, well, you know, I've got to have something. God's got to be, wait a second. If there's only two or three at the most speaking in tongues, two or three of the most, you know, prophets and et cetera, and then they have to be judged and all this other stuff. Wait. Not everybody's going to speak. You may have a psalm, but you may not share it. You may have a revelation, but it may not be that time. I think that's one of the things, again, that we have to learn, and that's patience. God may share something with you, and you are thinking, man, I've got to get this out there and, you know, put it on the presses and all that stuff. And the Lord is going, nope, you wait. He will often tell you something. There have been important teachings that I had, and I was pumped. I thought, okay, here we go. Yes, God. No. 3 years later, he allowed me to speak it. Oh my, was it different than when I first learned it. Message prepared in a mind reaches a mind. The three-year time period, it was in my heart and in my life, and it came out with quite an explosion. People just shocked. You can watch sometimes when you're speaking, and it's not just my tackiness. But the Holy Spirit, as you speak words in the understanding, but the holy pneuma, I mean, it almost is like they've been hit by a wind. I mean, you could just see the dropping back. And sometimes it's the sheer shock. As the Holy Spirit manifests himself to them for the common good. There may be times that the common good is you doing absolutely nothing. It may be, in fact, probably the majority of time. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Okay, we're at our first one. Before we go on, before we get started here on these the gifts, does anyone have any questions or comments on just what we've talked about so far today? Ben?
What just happened to me just a week ago. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was sharing some stuff about his marriage, and I just said, ah, and it went like something like, and then in your mind, da 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 da, and he literally said, whoa, we certainly do think alike, and I wasn't thinking alike.
one spirit.
He's like, man, we really do have like the same thought pattern, and it was exactly how his mind processed.
Right. It wasn't what, yeah, it's right.
And not. Yeah.
The Lord will do that through us. Anyone else before we get into these gifts?
Let me get with it. Thank you, Ben. Word of wisdom. Now, what Ben just said was not necessarily a word of wisdom. That is a word of knowledge. He knew something that was in that person's mind and heart. And if it's in your mind and heart, nobody else is supposed to know it. I mean, you know, unless you are blurting out the secrets, everything that comes across your mind, you are saying, oh, but that would be pretty bad. People don't know what you're thinking. Okay? In the case that Ben's talking about there, that was a word of knowledge. He knew something that otherwise you wouldn't know. But we'll come back to that in a second. First one is the word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is exactly what it says it is. These things are really not as fancy and as complicated as we've made them to be. Honestly, if you've talked to Mrs. Davis and I on a one-on-one level about whatever it may be, And sometimes it's about things that you don't think it's going to be, oh, you know, I want to talk to you about something simple going on in some work project or something. And the next thing you know, that's not what the talk was about. And the Lord brings it, you know, into, because he'll say, especially in our position, something maybe, wait a second, this person needs to hear this. And a word of wisdom is exactly what that says. It's wisdom you don't possess. It's wisdom that is coming from the Holy Spirit, and you are speaking that out. Wisdom that someone or you needs in a particular situation. And I'm telling you, you hear people, well, I want to make a wise decision. I want to be wise. No, you don't. So even Solomon said, if you're wise, you're only wise for yourself. But the Bible says to seek wisdom. Amen. It didn't tell you to become some wise guy or gal. We've got enough of those around. That's not what this is about. This is about allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself when he needs to. If you just got wisdom, well, you're going to run around and tout it. But this is you are waiting, and it manifests itself. And it may be in a counseling situation. It may be in a simple conversation. But it is wisdom that you otherwise would not have. Yeah, there are certain things that eventually in counseling you begin to listen for and you hear and your ear is tuned toward it. But I don't think, I know, and Mrs. Davis would, I think, fully agree, it's not something that we've learned. You become simply more tuned to the Holy Spirit. It's not, oh, okay, they said A, so therefore B is going to follow with C. That may happen. In fact, it happens fairly frequently. We would be counseling. A person comes in, they sit down, and they start. And within 60 seconds, less than that, Mrs. Davis and I are looking over at one another. We know exactly what has happened. The Holy Spirit has already manifested himself. We know exactly where we're going. We probably could tell the person, you can stop now. We'll go ahead and tell you what you're going to say. We've done that before. Gets people to kind of go, you know, what was that? A word of knowledge now. I knew something I shouldn't have known on a natural level. Attached to word of wisdom. These two often go together. Wisdom, it's simply that. A word of wisdom that I would not normally have. Verse 8, given to the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Again, a word of knowledge is knowing something that I would not necessarily know on a natural level. God has spoken to, I know, Mrs. Davis and I, individually through the years about different things, about different people, what they were up to, what they were going to be doing, what was really in their heart, what they were about. And there are times the Lord will simply tell you things because one of the top passions in my life is because I walk in the office of a prophet, a New Testament prophet. No one was there when I was your age. And I was like a cannon machine gun. Just, you get in front of me, and guess what? Boom, 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 boom. Hurting people. They just thought they were hurting when they got in my area. I helped them to die. Things that I did so wrong. I would, the Lord would show me something, and I would use it in a wrong fashion. What was the problem? 1 Corinthians 13 was a long ways off from this guy's heart. The Lord was speaking, but it wasn't controlled. And I need to tell you something. Just because God gives you knowledge or wisdom about a particular situation does not mean that your mouth is supposed to start moving. I'm going to tell you something. I would say, in those situations, easily, 99.999, you're not supposed to say a word. It's prayer. There is the greatest percentage of it is God is bringing that before you to take that person and lift them up in that particular situation. That's what it's about right then. For the common good. There are other times, and the Lord will do this. You see this in Scripture. I'm not going to move forward until I tell my prophets. You see him walking. He's about to go, and Sodom and Gomorrah are on today's cruise missile target. And what does he do? He just happens to wander by the oaks there at Mamre and has a covenant meal with Abraham because he's going to tell his friend, this is what I'm up to. And Abraham did exactly what a believer in the Lord should do that has that life inside him. He begged for mercy for the people, but then eventually went, but your will. God will tell you things, and I mean this, just because. It's like friends sharing secrets. Mrs. Davis knows things about me that nobody else gets to know. Period. That's it. Oh, sure, she comes in and tells them to everybody constantly, embarrasses the daylights out of me, but, oh, no, that's not true. I know things about her that, like I know she's really pretty and I love her and, oh, wait, those are not secrets, are they? Hey! Those are the secrets she's been telling me. Those aren't secrets. you have friends that you will say some things with, and other people, it's not common knowledge, right? I'm not going to say that to somebody. You know, you are careful. But secrets is one of the things that binds people together. And God will speak these things to his friends, his prophets, those in covenant with him, just simply because this is what I'm going to do. Now, that's not that terribly often. I mean, it's frequent, but it's not, you know, happening all the time. Most of it, almost all of it, when he tells you something, it's because he's looking for someone to stand in the gap. Will you do it? Will you stop right then and pray? And that is a difficult one to understand and to do. But remember, the Holy Spirit, one of its functions, if we talk about praying in tongues, is to help you pray. And the Holy Spirit will do that. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And that's not necessarily praying in tongues. You can pray in the Spirit in understanding. You know, that the Holy Spirit is just pouring through you and you are saying things in your native language. But there are those times where as someone that's in the body of Christ, that word of wisdom and word of knowledge, often them working together, you'll go back and forth and people go, was that a word of knowledge? Well, why are you worried about your field guide to what you're doing in the middle? This is not about you knowing what went on. This is about the manifestation for the common good. See, the problem is that people get caught up in the gifts and in the, oh, it's about me, look what happened and what I did and all that stuff, and lose the common good. And it needs to be And this is where the rabid seeking of humility must come about, of meditating on God's law to not lift yourself up. Not lift yourself up. Reminding, wait a second, I was a slave in Egypt. Now, wasn't I? I was in that house of slavery, and I did not beat my way out of it. You brought me out. Oh, God. You understand that you are, on the same level, and you've got to stay that way. This, I find it, hold your place there in chapter 12, but turn just a couple of pages over, please, to chapter 15. Verse 1, remember we've gone all the way through 12, 13, and 14. Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached. Isn't that fascinating? He finishes up with 12, 13, and 14, and he's talking about love, and he's talking about the gifts, and then he goes, oh, but wait a second. The Word. He comes back to the Word. You must hold fast to the Word. And if you walk away from that Word, you will, and the Holy Spirit, especially if He's speaking through you and things, you'll lift yourself up. You'll start acting like you're some kind of great thing. And the Holy Spirit will be grieved and thwarted to be used in your life even more. Ms. Davis, do you have anything you want to bring up on that?
All the times we've seen miraculous things happen, like the thing that was miraculous to me, the Bible study and different things that we've seen happen to boys come out of keeping God's word. And it was all because of being in a relationship with the Lord that He did those things. It wasn't. That was the difference between our life then, when we are now, when we've seen these things happen, and then prior to that, when, we didn't see anything happen. So, it's, God honors. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and it's keeping His word and seeking His face. That's what He's after. That's the point of keeping His word. Is it says that observing His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. It's seeking Him with all our heart is keeping His word. And so that's all the miraculous things we've seen have come out of that.
That's right. Yeah, and we've seen them. It's true. Thank you.
You've got to have that centering on the word. And anyway, the Lord may share words of wisdom and words of knowledge, things that you wouldn't know otherwise. Things about people and what they're up to. And I mean that. That they are doing and may be going to do. I've told you this before, but the Lord spoke to me and said they're in a particular area in this church, that there was adultery going on in that. And He said, when you go into the deacon's elders meeting this next time, when they come around to you, you are going to say the following words. There is adultery going on in this church, and the attempts to hide it are wrong. This group was high-powered guys. One of them had been a vice president for Intel. Vice president for Intel. One of them, PhD from MIT. This is the kind of guys, and God said, I want you to go in and say this. And I did. And one of them got so angry, I've told you before, jumped up on a chair. Jumped up on a chair and he's yelling at me. Guess whose camp? the adultery was going on. And I knew it was, and the Lord had told me. The Lord told me before I got there. Do you hear the word of knowledge, not wisdom? All of this is word of knowledge. I wasn't giving wisdom. He was furious. And one of the elders said, you need to sit down. I told him, he said, you know, this is not about shooting the messenger. Well, if he's going to come in here, he needs to give names. The Lord didn't tell me to give names. He told me to say just that. But I really wanted to say, it's in your camp and you know it. And he did. And wasn't too long after that that he kind of had a bit of a wipeout, shall we say. And there was some serious issues in the group that he was to be watching over. He didn't like that. But it was a word of knowledge. I shouldn't have known, but I did. Okay? Now, in that case, God told me to say something. But in countless other times, he's not said to say a thing. You just now know it, and you will pray, and it just becomes very apparent. So, anyway, that's word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Ms. Davis, anything else before we move on in that? Any questions or comments on any of this as we were moving along? This is pretty simple stuff. Do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I do. Also dreams and visions.
Yes.
Can be words of knowledge and a reminder to, if in the middle of the night you get a random dream. Because a number of years ago, way before I even heard of keeping, several of us had built a tent outside, tarps and various other things, and Mom and Dad let us sleep outside that night in our tent. And I had a dream that we got robbed. And I don't even remember what I prayed, but anyway, next morning turned out the neighbor had gotten robbed. And like, you know, we could see the shop and everything, like, you know, Father had protected us from, you know, them coming
during
over.
During the tent.
Exactly.
That'll stop him. Yeah, and that's right. And he will use dreams
to do exactly the same thing. What is he doing? He's sharing knowledge, he's sharing wisdom, but it's on a different level in the dream. We need to find those. We've had dreams. I ran across one of them the other day, but I don't know where I put it. So we'll try to find some of those too, where the Lord has given those with understanding. So He will. He'll manifest himself in that way also. And you may even, you know, have a vision. I don't know many people that I've had one, maybe a couple, other manifestations of the Lord in different ways, but not too many visions. Now I'm old and it's dream time. I think the reason for that is because we old guys get to sleep a lot, you know. It's just sitting up, you sleep. You lay down, you sleep. You drive, you sleep. That's what we do. So we dream. But you're right. That is another way that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself. Yes, sir?
Is there a difference between a dream and a vision?
Yeah. A dream is when you're asleep. A vision is you'll be wide awake, and all of a sudden, whoosh, I mean, you are elsewhere. The one I vividly remember, I was
sitting by myself, and I had heard about meditation. Didn't know the first thing about it, and didn't know anything about memorizing scripture or whatever. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know anything to meditate on. And I thought, but I need to meditate. And so it was just thinking, oh, that's be good enough. Well, I'd been raised Baptist, and so I thought, I'll meditate on the cross, on the crucifixion. And I was sitting there, and whew, I mean, it was just wham, I am in another place. And I was on the circle, I was in the circle as they were beating Jesus. And I was standing there with the crowd, and everybody was yelling, crucify him, and I'm kind of going, do I, you know, I'm in this crowd. I must be yelling and thinking the same thing because I'm hearing this crowd. And they had just cut him down, they cut him down, and as he did, he fell right in front of me in the dust. I still remember it so vivid. It was so vivid. Wham! I mean, he slammed face down. It's just this bloody mess. Dust is going all over the place. And I remember I was not standing up. I was like down on my knees. And so when he landed, it was just a few feet in front of me. His face is right there. And I'm watching. And he is trying to move. And he lifts his face up. And I'm getting ready. And I remember in the vision getting ready to see this face of pity and hurt and all this kind of thing. And the face came up, looked right in my eyes, and he smiled. I was broken. Why would he smile? Because he loves me. You know, I'd always thought of the crucifixion only as, you know, I thought, smiled, and then it all ended. His smile, and then it went away. Don't get me wrong, I don't think that it was, heaven was saying, yeah, that was a fun time. But for the joy set before him, the joy set before him. Anyway, I've had a couple of others, but you know, not as many. But I was wide awake. You're wide awake. In a dream, you're wide asleep. I had this weird friend one time that wanted to know, since there's such a thing as lukewarm, is there such a thing as luke cool? So, anyway, moving right along. Yes, I'm sorry.
The word of knowledge, does it come specifically from the Lord, like he speaks it to you, or will he sometimes use one of his services? You know, like he spoke the word of knowledge through the prophets to the people. So could the people then receive that as the word of knowledge from the Lord and pray?
No, they are receiving the knowledge. They're receiving knowledge, but the word of knowledge came as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the prophet doing the speaking. The people now have knowledge of something, but that's not supernatural that they knew it. They now, what happened was, it came supernaturally, but it went to a person. And it manifested itself. It went from that person. Now it went from supernatural to natural. If you want to put it, think about it this way. We're permeated right now with radio waves. But until you turn on the radio and tune it to the right spot, there's not going to be a manifestation of that. Okay? It went from the supernatural to the natural. I can't see it. It's not there. And suddenly you can. And so, it's that they would have just simply have wisdom or knowledge right there on the natural level. Anyone else? All right. Let's
move on to a word of wisdom according to the same word. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the one Spirit. And I went ahead and read both of those because these can so often be intertwined. Told the story, but I'll tell it again. My grandfather, my dad's dad, a number of years ago, he had been a heavy smoker as a younger man, and he'd gotten saved and quit. And we got the news that he had lung cancer that had metastasized to his liver, to his bowel, and to his brain. And I went, in fact, I left out part of it. Mrs. Davis and I were going to bed one night, and the Lord suddenly spoke to me, a word of knowledge. And I turned to her, and I said, the Lord just told me that my grandfather's going to die within a year. And if we want to see him, we need to start going to see him more. And she said, okay, fine. I mean, it was weeks, days, something like that we get this news that he has got cancer from one end to the other. And But her response when I said, or when her response when I said that we'll do that, okay, it's fine. When we found out about him having the cancer, she said pretty quickly after that, I still remember the words, I don't believe God wants him to die of that.
Right immediately that he was dying from the cancer. And it was, I've not had that happen before, where it was the faith, because I believe it was a gift of faith.
Gift of faith,
yeah,
exactly right.
It was, I knew that he wasn't going to die of cancer. You know, I don't even know if we prayed, but I just, that the Lord was going to heal him. And it was all of a sudden knowing that. That was, you know, I've never experienced that, just as knowing that.
So. Yeah.
This is a gift of faith. She suddenly knew. I mean, it was, I mean, she knew. This is the way it's going to be. I, in being Mr. Natural Man, no S for supernatural on me. Look, folks, you've got lung cancer, and it has metastasized to your liver, your bowels, and your brain. You are history. You are going to die, and there is not a thing they can do about it, and it's going to happen fairly soon. And I'm going, oh, come on, Mary. She said, nope, it's not. It's the way it is. And, I mean, she simply knew it. We went to see him, and if you've been around somebody with lung cancer, they have it really good. They are coughing all the time, and their voice gets real hoarse. One of the things is the tumors often are pushing against the pharyngeal nerve, which makes them able to speak. And so they're talking like this, you know. And he said, well, I guess you heard I got cancer, you know. And, of course, the kids are going, ah. And it was a rough scene. And but she was going, I believe God has said he's not going to die from it. Wow. And she did pray. And I didn't believe it. And not too long after she began saying that and praying for him, we got news, I don't know, this is a number of months into the thing. We'd gone to see him two or three times, and getting close to the end of that year, and he had gone to the doctor, and he'd been having improvement in his symptoms, and they did a total body scan on him. And there was no cancer anywhere. None. Gone. We went by to see him. Hey, did you hear what? I mean, voice is clear. No coughing. I mean, he's just, in fact, he was better than I had known him for actually a number of decades. He was always on a lot of medication and stuff like this. You know, he went to the VA. He was a retired military, and they just, okay, let's throw pills. And he had pills to fix another pill, and it was a mess. And he was better, and now my first thought was, and I told this to Mrs. Davis, I said, well, I guess I didn't hear God on that one, you know, because he's going to die in a year. I guess I didn't hear God on that one. But she heard about the gift of faith. That wasn't the gift of healing. It was the gift of faith. I mean, and she just was, and it happened. Cancer just doesn't go away like that. Boom! I mean, it was gone. And I went, well, okay, my word of knowledge, that of something that I knew without knowing it, was wrong. Until just before that year was up, he had a stroke. Woke up that morning, and he said, I've got a headache, to his wife, got a headache. And then he couldn't get up out of bed. And they took him to Austin, and they could not, of course, he was in his late 70s, and they could not get any veins. They kept collapsing and everything, and eventually just, you know, he left before the year was over. So the word of knowledge was right, but cancer wasn't going to do it. I mean, which would you rather go out with? I got a headache, or I'm coughing and spitting and feeling yucky and terrible from cancer. And that gift of faith was just so manifested there. Mrs. Davis, you were also talking about, wasn't it you thought you felt like Pat
praying in tongues for me. I don't believe it was, I don't know, but he later said that, his wife said that he normally would pray, the Lord would use the gift of healing and often manifest that in his life, praying for people, and that he believed the Lord, you know, that he, when he prayed for me, said that there was, he had not sensed the Lord's power like that when he had prayed for somebody before.
Very
strongly, and so.
His hands got real hot when he said that. Yeah,
and just the Lord, you know, did something, because they said that I had it for 10 and a half years, so they believed that I, you know, they were expecting that I had cancer everywhere because of that type of cancer, and that, you know, that's why when I went to MD Anderson, they did scans, every kind of scan they could possibly do, and nothing was found, so, except, you know, just that, and then they said that it was wimpy.
Or wimpy tumor. Said, yeah, which it was an NCT. Yeah. It was, you could say, a gift of healing and gift of faith. Like I said, they often are kind of like this. Mm-hmm. He was praying, and you could see that faith welling up in him. Mm-hmm. But it was also an understanding that, wait a second, the understanding that she's, and belief that she's going to be healed, that, you hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That belief, that unshakable belief, that's the gift of faith. The gift of healing is the tumor became wimpy, okay? And the two kind of met there from a lot of prayers. And the Holy Spirit manifested himself through the healing, just like he did with my grandfather. And we've talked about other healings. Won't necessarily go into all of those, but that's what the gift of faith is, the gift of healing. The gift of faith is simply, you just believe simply, this, that's it, it's what it's going to be, and it's done. And you have it's just simply unshakable. You've been given that, and you know that whatever it is that you're praying for and believing, it's simply going to be done. Gifts of healing is a different thing altogether. I found it interesting because often, when you're praying for somebody, you won't feel anything. And in this case, he felt heat in his hands. And he prayed for a lot of people for healing before. And it was different then. Something was different. There was heat in his hands. Because often when you're praying for somebody, you won't feel anything. But the person being prayed for, I don't know how many times I've heard, my goodness, your hands got hot. I mean, they were talking, they just got hot.
Really? You know, and you didn't feel anything. But the power of the Holy Spirit was going into them and manifesting himself in healing and also in just the power, the heat that was there. Ms. Davis, anything else on that? Anything on the gift of faith and gift of healing? Yes, sir.
You kind of see that, like I was going through commentary, and you kind of see this story that you're describing with Jesus and Lazarus, and he says this illness does not lead to death. And you know, you see the whole story, and then you see Lazarus die, and you're like, oh, Jesus is wrong.
Yeah.
But it said his illness would not lead to death. You know, there was still life. It was just part of the journey. You know, mm-hmm. Part of the end goal that was just kind of thrown in there was him dying.
And what was the goal? Do you remember it?
To glorify God.
That's it.
And so just like with your testimony of, you know, you had a word of knowledge and she had a faith in God. You know, there's different things going on, but it still fulfilled the end purpose, you know. And just, I guarantee you, you probably learned so much in all of that. Just in God working all those different things in there instead of if he just did his end goal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he just...
And he will remember with
God. Process is a huge part of it. I mean, if it's not the most important part.
More the journey than actual goal.
Yeah, because the goal, he can do that any time. But the process that he takes us through is for the building up of the glorification and the formation of his Son within us. Yeah. Remember, when we talk about gifts of healings, there are those that take these things and go, you know, anybody I pray for is going to get healed. I mean, I've heard that kind of stuff. And you can say, well, it's my natural man taking over, but I've seen too much of the reality. They died, or they didn't get healed. Now, I don't want to in any way put that person down for praying for the sick. That may be exactly what God is wanting them to do. Remember the story that I've told you before of Oral Roberts, the great faith healer, standing in front of a group of pastors saying, I've prayed for more people and seen them healed than anybody in this room. And everybody went, boy, what an arrogant jerk. And he let that sink in for a while, and as they were judging him, then he stopped and he said, I've also laid my hands on more people and watched them die than anybody else in this room. What are you doing? We're supposed to be praying for the sick. It's God. Duty is ours. Consequences are God's. Duty is ours. Consequences are God's. We are to be praying for people. And in the process, certainly He will tell you and show you things. So, Ms. Davis, anything else? Looked like you're thinking something there. What?
Reiterate that it was so different, that faith. You know, it wasn't like when I prayed for people before, you know, and it was just a knowing, immediate knowing, and it wasn't something I had to meditate on or anything. Yeah. It was all of a sudden I knew he was going to be healed and hadn't even thought about it before anything else. It was just all of a sudden the faith was dropped upon me to know he was going to be healed, and it was, that was such an odd experience because I've never experienced that before. I believed and prayed for things a lot, but that was a totally different
thing. Yeah.
Thanks
for bringing that up. This is not
like faith. You know, we all have faith, and there's different times you pray for people, and you know, okay, well, I need faith, and you need faith, and whatever. This one, I still remember it. I do. I mean, it was like, no, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way, I mean, just, period.
Yes, yeah. But it was a knowing just in my spirit, all of a sudden, the faith of he's going to be healed.
Yeah.
And just, there wasn't any doubt at all. No, even being nothing, I knew that he was going to be healed.
Yes, yeah.
It's totally different than anything I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now,
for whatever reason, God, I've not seen it anyway. I've not seen that God just heals everybody. And we can go to two different places in Scripture that I can show it to you. Three places. Nazareth, because of their unbelief, he was not able to do many miracles. Number two, the man at the beautiful gate. We brought up him up before. He was there for 30-something years. Jesus lived for 30-something years. And every time he passed through that gate, he went, remember, he lived not very far from there, and he would have been going back and forth in the temple, and he went with his disciples to the 3 years of it, and he passed by that guy and never healed him. Do you think that the Son of God may have known, ha, 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 as he's walking by this guy, ha, 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 you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, but the smelly guy behind me is going to, you just wait. You know, and here comes the Pope walking over there. Oh, boom! All of it. He got healed then, but Jesus did not heal that man at that time. And then there was the man that was at the pool of Bethsaida, and he said, when the waters are stirred, I can't get into the water first because of the crowd. Jesus walked through the crowd and picked that guy out. You're the man. And he wasn't a very grateful person either. But Father told him, that's the one you're going to heal. Isn't that interesting? That man actually caused trouble for Jesus. He was not only not grateful, but he had the fear of man as far as the religious people were. Oh, it's Jesus did that. Who healed you? I don't know. You don't know. Anyway, and then he kind of worked on betraying Jesus a little bit to the authorities How dare you heal someone without our permission?
It said, go and sin no more. Oh, immediately that, yeah. He went to the authorities, yeah. And said, Jesus is the one.
Yeah. Go and sin no more. God, yeah, this is good guy. Yeah. I don't have to put up with that. You don't heal me, that's one thing, but it sounds like a modern church to me.
Okay, anyone else on this? Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk about the difference between spiritual healing and physical healing?
Number one, I don't know. I would think
not, but I'm not exactly sure what distinctions that you're making. But healing would be healing if you're thinking in terms of
versus a broken leg versus being bound.
Right. You know, we see this. That, remember, Jesus healed that one woman.
And I think it was on the Sabbath, and she was all twisted up. Wasn't that the right one? And he said, "This daughter of Abraham." I know that was the phrasing. Does anybody remember any of this stuff? Or am I making this one up? Yeah. And he said, and he specifically said it was Satan that was doing this to her. Okay, and. Are you asking, is there a difference between someone like that, to where it's a spiritual thing, and somebody that has rheumatoid arthritis? Healing is healing. And here's one of the things that can happen with this. Jesus, every time, you do not see him when he's healing someone saying, Satan, be gone. Why? Because there are physical things that happen to us, okay? They happen to us physically. And it wasn't Satan. In this case, this lady was all twisted up. You wonder if it wasn't from bitterness for whatever reason, but Satan had gotten in there and was twisting her up. But you do not see Jesus always doing that because it's not needed. Now, wait a second. In this case, he somehow knew that. Do you see that he had a word of knowledge at the same time? He had a word of knowledge working with the gift of healing and faith at the same time, I think. So, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, there may be different things. And it would work in this way, too. Say you're dealing with somebody that is ill, and they come to you for prayer, and you're suddenly, the Lord is saying they've got this going on in their life. James talks about healing and it being connected to sin, and the person needing to perhaps confess a sin that they are hiding or that they're up to. Teaching on laying hands on people brings that up specifically. If you look in the book of James, it talks about that. And sin can certainly cause illness, disease. It certainly can. Bitterness can cause arthritis. It can cause blood disorders. It can cause a decrease in your immune system. So, perhaps you're about to pray for someone. And I can tell you right now, when I've had men at different conferences or things like this, and they come to me, and when they start saying, well, I just need some prayer, where it just seems like we're constantly in this hole. We can't get out. I've got a good job, but it just seems like the money goes, and we just don't seem to be able to hold on to it. And we did this, and you know, we bought a new car, and it exploded. You know, we did this, and this happened. You know, and I just can't figure out what's going on. What's the next question? That's the first question. First question is, are you involved in meditation, pornography, or whatever that you're not supposed to be? ah, ah. Why would I bring up such a thing? Remember? Money problems, anger, and lust almost always go together. Not always, but almost always. And it has been very rare that when the person comes and that's what they start talking about, go to that question. And certainly, it's knowledge of things that I've learned in the past from the Word, but the Holy Spirit will bring it to my mind. Ask them this, because this is what's going on. They've got to cleanse themselves of that, of those sins, because that is easily besetting them, and it gives Satan territory. And he's able to come in and destroy their finances, perhaps even destroy their marriage, to destroy them, their body physically. So these things, it is good for us in defining things to compartmentalize. I mean, it is. We need to, okay, here's what the soul is, and here's what the sarx is. But it works like that. Okay? It cannot just be, okay, we're going to fix this part, and the other part's going to be all right. You usually have to fix a great portion of it. Is that what you're talking about? Kind of? Where's the part I'm not talking about, what you're looking for?
I don't know. Just like your grandpa wasn't bound by sin, was he? When he had cancer?
Wasn't bound by Satan?
Wasn't bound by sin?
Not that I know of.
Okay. But he still had cancer.
Yeah, he'd been a smoker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd been a smoker. Are you saying, do all sins come from, I mean, all health come from sin things?
Yeah.
No. No. People will, ultimately, yes. Okay. But, you don't necessarily have cancer because you've got sin in your life. You don't necessarily have rheumatoid arthritis because you've got sin in your life. There are some people that teach that kind of thing, and I think they're biblically way off. There may be things that God tells you this needs to be, and maybe the person will bring it up. But when somebody is down,
they come to you and they're sick. Remember the last time you had the flu? Remember how you felt? You didn't care if the world ended yesterday. In fact, it would have been better. Because I am in so much... And you feel terrible. When you're feeling terrible and you're in a lot of pain, and or you're sick, whatever, you are not looking for somebody to come and preach you a sermon on, you got sin in your life and you need to get fixed. Maybe they need it, okay? But we can do it in a more genteel way than the way that you see some of these people do. Ms. Davis, do you have comments on that?
I thought about the verse that said Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So it's the healing, whether it's spiritual or physical, I think it's often is connected. Because I know even this semester, you all have heard about my muscle spasm I was having chronically, and for weeks. And I wasn't asking the Lord about that. I just could tell something just wasn't right. And I asked him, what is it, Lord? And he said, you're not receiving from my hand suffering that I'm bringing, give you every day. You're not receiving it with thanksgiving. And as soon as I acknowledged that, the spasm immediately was gone. And I haven't, to this day, woken up with a muscle spasm. And I was having it every day for several weeks. And so I think it's, regardless, it's going, what are you saying? I know when I had the cancer diagnosis, I had been having physical stuff going on, and I was praying about it. And during that time, before I knew I had cancer, it was so neat because I was memorizing Psalm 118 because the Lord was dealing with me about being ungrateful. And, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And I just started memorizing those verses and didn't know what the whole chapter said, because there's twice in there that that speak about not being given over to death, but that I might declare the one that declare his praises or something like that. And the Lord has disciplined me severely, but hasn't given me over to death. And twice it's in there, but I hadn't even gotten to those verses, and then I'm diagnosed with cancer. But the Lord was dealing with me specifically about being grateful and receiving from his hand, just like he was saying the other day about my shoulder, being receiving from him with thanksgiving and not resisting his grace. And so I think when we are going through stuff, it is, Lord, are you speaking to me in this? Because he's always speaking to us, you know. And I know that I have, during that time, that was the most awesome time. There was no fear of death, but it was just the Lord teaching me to moment by moment live in his grace that I had that moment. It was presumption that I would have 30 minutes down the road. I have this moment to give him thanks, and that's all I have. If I'm breathing right now, I can acknowledge him and give him thanks. And so he's teaching me great lessons during that time. And I think it's always, Lord, what are you saying to me? Regardless, physically, what, if we're having something going on or not, and he's wanting to speak to us. And I know that he miraculously healed my shoulder this semester. And it doesn't mean sin. I mean, we're always missing the mark in some way, daily. But it's listening to him, hearing what he's saying. And I've learned so much during that whole cancer thing, just the miraculous ways that God orchestrated things. And, you know, on a daily basis, just it was such a testimony of his faithfulness. And so, you know, he's speaking to us.
Yeah. And often sickness is when we get slowed down enough to listen. Mm-hmm. And there may be areas in our lives that he really is trying to work on. So,
and the sin may not necessarily be attached to the sickness. It could be that I'm letting this sickness so that you'll stop long enough and hear. I can give you a testimony of Bob Norville. Number of years ago, they were up there in Arkansas, and they were herding cattle. And Bob jumped on a four-wheeler, and he flipped that thing. He was herding cattle, and he flipped it, and it landed on top of him. And he came very, very close to death. As he was in the ambulance, and he was, I can't remember everything about it. It was like it was no pain, but he knew he was quite messed up, and he was quite messed up. And he said he heard really loud because Bob had not been meditating. He had got busy, you know. We all just the meditation time had shrunk up. He said it was like an audible voice, Bob. Jesus did an imitation of Norville as he was talking to him. Bob. Bob, I'm going to have your fellowship. I am going to have your fellowship. He's laying in the ambulance. Now, I'll bet he said, yes, sir. And what was going on? The Lord was using that to get, it got his attention. Boy, did he get his attention. So you folks, our lives are interwoven, not only with one another, but with the different parts and pieces that make up the whole. And the Holy Spirit is there within us, guiding us, speaking to us. And as Mrs. Davis pointed out, he's always speaking. The problem is we ain't always hearing when we should be. It should be just this constant communication. Mrs. Davis, anything else? Folks, anything else on? Yes?
You know how we pray for a softening of the heart?
Yeah.
And I know it's really the belief system. Is that also a type of healing to be praying for? Can you get, kind of like what Lynn was saying, does God give you faith that someone's heart will be softened?
Well, I guess it could, sure.
As you were praying about a particular person, often in that type of prayer, and this is really kind of getting away from the subject, but in that type of prayer, it's one of those wrestling things, and sometimes it may take years, literally, that you are praying. If we stop to actually think about what you just said, you have to also stop and go, and y'all can help me with this. Is there biblical precedent for praying that someone's heart be softened? Is there, Mrs. Davis, that you know of? In other words, is it a biblical prayer? That's important. If you're praying the Bible, you're praying God's will. You understand? I mean, you know, it's you're praying His Word. Is there such a thing as going, oh God, I'm praying something biblical that is along right with Your will, the softening of someone's heart? We see God hardening hearts, okay? And we see Him circumcising hearts, but do you know of any place where it actually says that? It could be, but I don't know of one. Ben, you do?
I don't know where it is. The Lord does give the prophecy that I shall take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a softening. That's a total.
That's a replacement.
Yeah, that's a total replacement.
Yeah. One of the things I just in talking about this, one of the things I think that we often are doing, folks, that we're often guilty of, is praying stuff that we've heard that sounds nice and cute, and it's just not necessarily biblical. Okay? Nice idea. And you know, God's able to hear past the inaccuracy of our statements. Don't get me wrong. He's capable of thinking abstractly. But I would much rather, if you're going to pray for the softening of a heart, pray Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 3. Isn't that right? Is it Colossians 1? Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we have, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened for all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that exists among you, your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Notice how all this, these things are focused around the knowing of God. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We talked about a softening of a heart. This one is at least, okay. The eyes of the heart be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches, the glories of inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe, in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth derives its name, and that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the power of His Spirit in the inner man, so that, now that's not a softening of heart, that's a strengthening of the heart, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. Whoa! It's good stuff to be praying. And, you know, anything in the Bible, it can be turned into a prayer. So, God may lead you to pray in different ways, but I'm going to tell you, one of the things that happens when you're really praying like that and you really start to learn to listen to the Spirit, you get quiet. And you really, a lot of times, it's you're not a lot of praying, you're listening. But you will begin
And things will come out all of a sudden. Where did that come from? What? Where did that come from? Here, these different things will come out. And you will know it's words that you would not normally say. And you're suddenly suspicious that somebody else is inside talking. And it's going to be a lot more accurate biblically, you'll find, with an imagery and a faith that rises up inside you because it's the Holy Spirit doing the praying and not yourself. Ms. Davis?
Asking him what to pray.
Yeah.
The key, because we, I know for myself, leaning often to my own understanding, I ask him what he wants to pray. It's never going to be contrary to what he
wants. Right. Yeah. Ask him to pray through you as you are wrestling for this person's soul. Okay.
I think what I was using the phrase, because we do pray it a lot, the softening of the heart. But I think what I was saying was, can that, just pray for the heart, basically, because that is a belief system. And after I'd asked the question, God brought to mind Paul praying for our grandfather. And, he was eating up with cancer. And but Paul had been praying a long time, and our whole family has, actually, since we've been young, that... very kind of churchy prayers, just God save him, help him to know you, all this stuff. But as Paul came here, he was praying a lot more for him. And I think praying the law for him and everything. And one day God just said, Paul, it's done for him. Like, I can't even remember exactly what he said, for word perfect, but he said, your grandfather, even though you haven't heard it yet, he's mine now. Like, he's safe. Yeah, I guess I'm just that, it seems like there's a lot of spiritual warfare involved there, but God does specifically let you know and give you, he gave Paul faith
he
to
will
believe
do that.
That it was done.
He will do that.
Yeah.
And it is, that is
what the old folks used to talk about, praying through. You pray through, praying through. It may take weeks, years, or whatever. But the day comes. Oh my goodness. That's it. It's done. And I guess maybe gift of faith has shown up at that point in time. But you suddenly know it's just simply done. It does not matter what everything else looks like. It is taken care of. And what's amazing is when that happens to you, the immediate response in your soul is thanksgiving. It just pours out. And you're so excited. It's like the greatest gift that you've ever received. Whole thing. Nothing happened. Hey, you idiot. Nothing's changed. Oh, yes, it has. It has. I've got it. What I've been praying for belongs to me and my Father, period. And that is what they used to call it, praying through. You pray through until the problem is through, done, taken care of. And you know it. You just simply know it. Yes, ma'am.
So if you receive the word of knowledge or faith that the problem is, whatever it is you're praying for is done, but it's not manifested in the physical, should you continue praying?
Yes, but it changes now, doesn't it? How do you, your prayer is no longer, oh God, give them this, grant them salvation. Wait a second, if it's done, thank you that you have.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference. Because now, guess what? Perseverance comes in. And you are wanting to persevere through that, and so you hold on to it. And one of the ways you hold on to it is through thanksgiving. The receiving of it. And listen, Jesus defines what asking is. I want you to hear it. Listen to how Jesus defines asking. Everyone who asks receives. He who asks receives. Period. How did he just define asking? Receiving. And this is what we're talking about. When you're receiving it, you're giving thanks in it. Stavis, anything on that? Yes?
On that, just someone else had said, I think when Tim Foreman came and shared, and saying that you're given that word of knowledge, like that gift of faith, word of knowledge that is done. And then so you start giving thanks, and to go back and ask the Lord again, like making requests is to be unbelieving then.
Yes.
You know, it's then you're doubting, then you're not receiving it as done, because he's given you that, this is done, receive it, thank me. And and he gives you that ability to give thanks, but to go back and be like, oh no, God, give me this, come on, please, Lord, I need this, is then unbelief.
Yeah, and it will, unfortunately, when you're praying that way,
it can feed the unbelief. Why? Because you're speaking it with your tongue. All of these things are really, folks, especially in the times that we are entering, that we are in, it is so important for us to understand how to intercede, for us to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of receiving His life in us.